So Heather and I deal a lot with foreign F1 students. So again, these are foreign nationals who come to the United States to pursue education here. And this includes education at most of the post-secondary levels. So this includes bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, PhDs. We see F1 students in all these at all of these levels. F1 students can receive certain forms of work authorization, which includes curricular practical training, CPT work authorization. So that would be for something like, a co-op or an internship where the student is actually earning course credit for the work that they're doing at a U.S. company. All students who graduate with a degree from a U.S. university get 1 year of post-university completion optional practical training. So you'll hear that referred to as OPT. So everyone who completes their degree gets 1 year of that. Now, if you graduate with a degree in a certain STEM field or in certain STEM fields, so that stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, you can get 2 more years of work authorization. So that's up to 3 years of OPT. And why is that important? Because sometimes you need that amount of time to be able to convert to your future visa option after that, which is usually going to be the H-1B visa. Now, the H-1B visa is intended for professional workers working in a specialty occupation. What does that mean? That's an occupation that requires theoretical and practical application of a body of highly specialized knowledge, which requires the attainment of a bachelor's degree or higher in a specific specialty as a minimum for entry into this occupation. So, for instance, that'll include engineers, occupations using math, physical sciences, accounting, law, certain business specialties. So, as an example, I am a lawyer, I have a JD, so if someone wanted to sponsor me for an H-1B, they should be able to do that because clearly the occupation of lawyer requires at least a JD. Now, I also have a bachelor's degree in gender studies from Northwestern University, and if I got a job as a barista at a coffee shop, do you think that that coffee shop could sponsor me for an H-1B because I have a bachelor's degree? Who here thinks yes? Who here thinks no? Everyone's shaking their heads. That's right, no. Unless you have an extremely talented lawyer who can make that case, I would give that case to Heather. I would probably pass on it. But that's actually something where we're seeing a lot of targeting from immigration right now on things like the business specialties, because I think immigration now is starting to say, hey, there are certain business specialties where you've said a specific degree in business is required, but is that truly the case? Now, there's also an annual quota on the number of new H-1Bs that can be given out every year. We commonly refer to that as either a quota or the cap. There are 85,000 new H-1B numbers that can be given out every fiscal year. This is legislative, set by Congress. And this refers to anyone who has not had an H-1B before. So again, going back to that example of the foreign students, those foreign students, for the most part, have never had an H-1B before. They graduated from their undergrad, came here for grad school, and after they graduate from grad school, they're trying to get a job in the U.S. So they've never had an H-1B. Those individuals are subject to this H-1B cap or quota. Now, a H-1B candidate who works at one company who has an H-1B already and wants to transfer that H-1B to another employer is not subject to that quota. But again, that recent grad is subject to the quota. Now, how do you think immigration decides which H-1Bs they will give out of their annual quota to any given person who applies for one? So just go ahead and raise your hands. Who here thinks it's A, salary level? Who thinks it's B, preference given to graduates with a PhD? Who thinks it's C, employer reputation? And who thinks it's D, lottery? Okay, so you guys know what's up, or you looked ahead in the next slide. The answer is D, lottery. Now, how many H-1B petitions do you think U.S. employers filed during the 5-day window in April of 2018 this year? Who says A, 80,000? Who says B, 190,000? Who says C, 236,000? Okay. I saw Paul raise his hand because he knows what's up. It's be 190,000. And here you can see sort of the five-year trend on what's been happening with respect to the supply and demand on the numbers. So this year, immigration received 190,000 petitions, which means that if you run a lottery on those numbers, 45% of the applications won the lottery. Last year in 2017, USCIS received 199,000, which meant 43% won. The highest we ever saw was in 2016, when USCIS received 236,000, which meant that 36% of the applications won the lottery. And actually, if you extend this back even further to years like 2008, 2009, during the economic downturn, you can see that during those years, there were years when there was no lottery because there wasn't sufficient demand during the opening window for filing because of the downturn. People weren't hiring, and therefore they weren't sponsoring foreign nationals for H-1B.